We're adjourned. This portion of the meeting is one of the most important functions of this board. We're going to hear from local governments for funds for new school construction or repair to existing schools. As you know, we submitted our budget last week, 24 hours after taking office. Education is our top priority, and that's why my budget fully funds school construction with more than $290 million for K-12 education projects. I realize how important investing in education is to the growth of our counties and the state, and I look forward to hearing from all of you. I look forward to working with you, with all the representatives of all the local jurisdictions in this process. So at this point, I'd like to go ahead and call on, I guess, the first group is Carroll County. Well, I'm sorry about that.
Of the preliminary capital improvement.
David, let's go ahead and hear from you then.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Governor, Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, I'm David Lever. I'm the Executive Director of the Public School Construction Program, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. The motion will actually be presented after we hear from all of the school systems, but I'm sure you've read through the motion. We're recommending, the IEC, I should say, is recommending $187.5 million in specific project funding that represents 75% by law of the governor's preliminary figure. There would be $62.5 million as contingency. Once we have the final budget figures in the end of the legislative session, then we'll come back and present 100% recommendations for all of the funding. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions?
If I could, Dr. Lieberman, thank you for being here. Before we get to the individual appeals, I just wanted to thank you for your service as the Executive Director of the Interagency Committee for Public School Construction. And I say to folks that we rely upon you for objective, appropriate information about all of these unbelievable number of requests that we get. And I just want to compliment you and Joan Schaefer, your assistant. The Treasurer and I obviously have worked many, many years with you, and Governor Hogan, I think you're going to come to regard the institutional knowledge and the clear-sightedness, because this can be a very emotional subject for a lot of the systems, and we need to have Dr. Lever's judgment, I guess, is what I'm referring to. And I do have a question about the whether the board, whether the IAC still receives periodic school maintenance reports.
Yes, we are conducting maintenance surveys of 220 to 230 schools per year. That includes a certain number of re-inspections of previous year surveys. All of the LEAs receive the reports, and then responses are requested from them.
Okay, and you used to give us a report that would, in a sense, evaluate and grade each of the local jurisdictions on their commitment to cost savings and better education outcomes through superior school maintenance. And it gave me a sense of which jurisdictions are truly committed to taking care of the resources they have and which ones need some stimulation. And I guess my question is, I know you and your team have made some sacrifices as a result of budget pressures, and that you hope to publish a new school maintenance report in the near future. Is that my understanding correct?
We are delayed in putting together the report. We completed the FY11 and FY12 maintenance reports. We have completed also the FY13. We want to put them together as a comprehensive view, because with FY13, we've completed the first six-year round inspecting all schools in the state, which gives us an overview of what's happening in maintenance. And then we begin the next round with the FY14 reports and the FY15, which are in progress right now. But we are delayed, and it is attributable to staff problems that we have had. We have advertised for a position. We have a potential candidate, and we are trying to work with that candidate to different one.
Right. In anticipation of that, could you just give us a minute on the general state of school maintenance in Maryland?
It is a mixed situation. On the good side, I think that there's more attention being paid to maintenance, partly as a result of this program, partly as a result of the attention that's been brought to it by leadership, the Board of Public Works, and others. People understand that with the very, very large investment that we've been making as a state in school construction, that making sure that schools are well maintained for the long term is absolutely critical, so we don't have to come back to them prematurely for additional investments. And we are seeing, I think, across the board, improvements in the general approach to maintenance, the attention that's given to it. The other side of the coin, unfortunately, is that budgets have been seriously constrained. And maintenance, unfortunately, is one of those areas where, when other priorities come up in the school system budget, the maintenance budget is often hurt by this. And you're getting a combination of the increase of square footage in a number of jurisdictions with new schools, replacement schools, additions, and at the same time a reduction in the maintenance personnel. So the response that we're seeing that is very positive in some jurisdictions is to try and get as much out of every dollar as they can, to find efficiencies within the system, through restructuring of their organization, by trying to just work with the best possible people that they have. Finding high-quality leadership seems to be a critical component of that. But even with that, even the best systems are struggling. It's very, very evident that they're struggling these days.
Could you describe the leverage or the oversight that you have over systems where you encourage a commitment to the priority, I guess, and meeting the state of Maryland standards for good or even superior maintenance?
Well, it's a very visible kind of program, and the school systems do place a lot of attention on it. The letter goes to the superintendent, and it's copied to the staff. It outlines any specific problems that we've seen. It also provides a summary of all of the results, superior, good, adequate, not adequate, and so on. If there are schools that have achieved a not adequate or a poor, it highlights those schools and also calls attention to, say, specific types of issues that we might have found. So that gives a high level of visibility. The report, which you mentioned before, is another high level of visibility, and when we get caught up with that, that becomes a very important point of leverage. And then also the ceremony, which is, we have not held the ceremony since FY 2010, the award ceremony. That is prized, actually, by the school systems. It's a moment of glory for the custodian, the building engineer, to actually come down here and shake hands with dignitaries and to be recognized for the work that they do.
So, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but of the 24 jurisdictions, who's at the head of the class? Who are the honor roll jurisdictions, I guess, when it comes to school maintenance? And is there anything that they do that can be emulated by the other jurisdictions?
There are a number, so it's a competition among equals in terms of excellence, but, and I'm not saying this because I happen to be in the room right now, but we do look to Frederick County very much for practices and standards. They compete against themselves, and they really are trying to achieve a kind of almost a national level of recognition for restructuring, for the kinds of efficiencies that I was mentioning before. Washington County, they happen to also be in the room, they also do an excellent job. We're seeing very good work happening among some of the small jurisdictions, even though their resources are highly constrained. We think of Calvert County does an excellent job. Carroll County is struggling very hard with budget constraints and yet is doing good work. Cecil County always does good work. But the budget constraints are showing. There's no question about it. There's a huge strength. We're hearing about, for instance, that central office staff is now having to take over in school-based functions because they've lost custodians due to budget constraints. And so their specialty as central office staff is now being somewhat diluted because they have to spend more time, we call them rovers, going from school to school to school, just putting out fires. And that's a demonstration of how the budget cuts are affecting them on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I don't mean to monopolize the discussion, but for me it's a very important issue, and I think the governor understands what we're talking about, that when we have these fiscal restraints and our needs far exceed our available resources, we're just not going to be able to, as a state, sit down and write a big check every time a county needs a new school. And anything that you can help us with to promote a new culture in our state where we take care of what we've built, I would greatly appreciate it. Right now, as far as I can tell, in some of the jurisdictions, I won't begin to name them, but it's almost like a disposable culture where a shopping mall or a ballpark that's outdated after 25 or 30 years, and people move on, and they cost tremendous amounts of money to replace. Schools the same way, and we're simply not going to be able to invest that much money to replace schools after 15 or 20 years. So I like the idea of making these academic facilities conducive to academic success and keeping them up and providing the students and teachers and staff members with schools they can be proud of, but at the bottom of it is school maintenance. And as the treasurer may want to comment, she's been to a lot of schools herself. I've been to a ton of schools that are appalling because of their lack of maintenance. And I'm told, well, you know, we're just going to build new ones. And so I'm glad to hear the counties that you mentioned. I'm sure Frederick's glad to hear itself mentioned, because you go up there and you understand what superior maintenance is, even in an old building. So thank you. Keep up the support if you can let us know when the new report's going to come out, because there's nothing like a report card to stimulate these jurisdictions. Thank you very much. Thank you, Governor.
Treasurer?
Yes. I must say, I have been over the years to a lot of schools, and I do agree that maintenance, both at a specific school and the whole culture of maintaining what you have, well, it is a problem, not just for schools, for all the public buildings. I don't believe you go to many schools and the response is, well, we're going to get a new one. It's been 15 years. Time to stop maintaining this one. Maybe some places they do, but I haven't heard that. But what I have seen, and I think Peter is absolutely right, is a dilution of the resources going into maintaining them for the reasons you said. I have a question that at one time, former Governor Schaefer, as I recall, proposed that a certain portion of a construction project funding be set aside, sort of in a trust, for maintenance, to be used only for that, not to be moved out for something else in bad time, and that it had to be used. And then I don't know whatever happened to that idea. But are there mechanisms like that that the IAC, Madam Superintendent, have looked at for assuring that it's not always just hollowed out?
There are mechanisms available for that. We have not done that ourselves. We're very aware that, for instance, in the public-private partnership world, what's called a refresh fund becomes part of the availability payment that builds a fund for exactly the things you're talking about, the, let's say, 20-year replacement of the HVAC system or the roof, so that it's on cycle and it's absolutely committed, can only be used for that purpose. It can't be diverted with anything else. The problem we would always face is that with, let's say, $250 to $300 million of funding, we're always, in my tenure, there's only been 1 year when we've even surpassed 50% of requests in the CRP.
Well, I understand that, but I think Peter is also right that because basically the local governments pay now more than half, but still not 100% of construction, more than half, and they're in charge of maintenance.
That's correct.
But we pay up to 50% of the construction. So the rewards are not exactly the same for both parties. I mean, and they can cut the maintenance, which we don't share in, and it doesn't have any impact on our program. And I just, I understand there's not enough money to go around. I understand you can't do everything, but I also think whether it's 15 years or 20 or 25, still there are buildings that, had they been well maintained, would have lasted longer and would have been better in which to educate children. I really think maybe this is... And I recognize, Madam Secretary, that it's not only the schools that have this problem, too. All of our state facilities, the first thing to go... Actually, when I was on appropriations, I will admit, the first thing to go was employee training, and the second thing was maintenance. You know, and I know we do people, but it shouldn't be. And so if there's anything that I can go
through. We do have a process in place where, first of all, we do challenge projects that we think are being submitted prematurely, even if they do meet the technical 15-year requirement. If, let's say, a roof is being submitted that's only 18 years old, we do ask for backup, for information of why a roof should be replaced at such a young age. The second thing is that in terms of replacement of schools, we go through a fairly rigorous process in terms of requiring a feasibility study to justify state funding at the level of new construction. And there are instances in which the school system has decided to go ahead with replacement, that's their business, but we only fund at the level of renovation, which is somewhat less than the cost of replacement. So that is a way that we do deliver the message if we don't agree with the replacement option.
Well, I'd like to weigh in on this, and first of all, thank both the comptroller and the treasurer for their comments, and I agree completely with everything both of them said. Peter, I want to thank you for raising the issue. To me, for you to say that you're 2, 3, 4 years behind in doing this assessment of maintenance and not doing the report card because you're short of an employee is ludicrous. That it's money well spent for us to get you the help you need so that we can get caught up, because we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars here. And if you need a couple of employees to do the report to figure out how to better spend our maintenance dollars, then we ought to get that done right away. That would be the first step. You say you're working on FY 14, 15, and 16, or you're finishing out 12 and 13. We should be done with 15. We should be working on FY 16.
The actual physical inspections for FY 15 are in progress now. It will be completed in June.
Well, we've got to get your reports done, so let us know what we need to do to help make that happen.
Can I ask one question? When you send letters to the counties, you send them to counties or the school board?
No, to the school board, to the superintendent, actually.
So they don't go to the people who actually raise the taxes?
No. I think we have copied in some instances, but generally.
That's one question. And the second one is, do you send them on the specific schools you've looked at? Do you make comments on the system as a whole?
Yes, there's an evaluation. If we see, for instance, that there are issues that run across a majority of the schools that we have inspected.
But you only inspect in the larger jurisdictions, a small percentage of the schools.
That's true for all of the jurisdictions. Roughly 1/6, because we're trying to stay on a 6-year cycle, so it's roughly 1/6 of the schools in each jurisdiction will be inspected in any 1 year. That will vary, of course.
And what would it take to increase that?
It would take more staff, frankly.
And if we had more staff, then we would be having a much better idea of how we're spending money on maintenance dollars.
How the locals are spending their money on maintenance, how well the schools are doing.
It seems to me on maintenance we're getting a much bigger bang for our buck than we are on new school construction. I agree with some of the comments that the comptroller made about it's just too easy to build a new school after 15 or 20 years. Look, we're sitting in a building right now that was built in 1772. It seems to be working pretty well for us, and it's very well maintained. We're not building a new state house every 15 or 20 years. So it's just something that I want to try to get us all focused on. I think we're all in agreement. Treasurer said he's going to, the comptroller said he's going to put you on the spot by saying who are the best ones, and you named some counties, rural counties with very constrained budgets that are doing a great job because they don't have money for a new construction, that they're doing a great job maintaining their old building. I want to really put you on the spot and give, I want to hear the bottom of the list, who's doing the worst job of doing maintenance of their schools.
Well, you certainly are pretty good. Prince George's County has improved significantly, dramatically, in the last year and a half under the leadership of Kevin Maxwell, the superintendent, CEO rather, and also other leadership that has come in the maintenance and the capital program. So 5 years ago, I would have said Prince George's County was truly problematic. We are seeing such dramatic improvement that I have high hopes that we are really in good shape with that. Baltimore City Public Schools has put together a comprehensive maintenance plan. There's a clear recognition, and Dr. Fullerton mentioned this yesterday in a hearing, that maintenance has not been funded and has not been staffed in the way that it should have been in previous years. They, as a result of the Memorandum of Understanding that came out as part of HB 860 passed 2 years ago, maintenance becomes a critical issue. In September, the ISC approved a comprehensive maintenance plan which outlines a 5-year plan, $3 million per year increase on the maintenance budget, increase of staff on a year-by-year basis, reorganization of certain aspects of maintenance to make it more efficient and far more accountable. And if that plan is held to, then what we project is that within 5 years, Baltimore City Public Schools will be able to conduct its maintenance at a level which is comparable to those of the other jurisdictions. And so our role in this is we are meeting weekly with the maintenance staff of Baltimore City Public Schools. Mr. Bill Levy, who is in the audience here, is our point person for this. And so we are focused on a whole series of issues related to maintenance with Baltimore City Public Schools. And we think through this attention and through the increases of funding and staffing that we're going to be seeing significant progress over the course of 5 years.
So is it safe to say that the jurisdictions that get the most money and have the most new schools are doing the worst job of maintaining the old schools?
No, I
and the rural counties that get the least money and have the least new schools are doing the best job of maintaining their existing schools?
No, that is not quite right. The mid-sized
schools... Sounds like what you said.
No, the small jurisdictions, it's a different dynamic. In the small jurisdictions, is truly a community school. The custodian probably lives, a few blocks away. It has a dynamic of community attention and quality of health, but also it helps to maintain, for instance, cleanliness, ordinary repairs, and so forth. Mid-sized jurisdictions have, although they probably wouldn't agree with me, but they have a manageable number of schools. What we have seen in our analysis, and we have not conducted this in several years, but we did see this several years ago, is that there's a decided break when you move from a mid-sized jurisdiction to a large jurisdiction. All of the large jurisdictions deal with an organization, a structural issue of carrying forward standards from central office, having it percolate down to the schoolhouse level. And it's only partly a problem of staffing and resources. It can be very much a matter of communication of standards, of the ability to inspect and enforce, simply having the resources to be able to go out and look at 120, 160, 200 schools. And that's an issue that we want to understand much, much better of how large organizations, perhaps it's in the military that we can be looking to see, how do large organizations address that kind of structural issue when they have many, many assets and they have a very constrained budget.
Thank you. Mr. Comptroller?
Yeah, if I could just jump in, because I have visited hundreds of schools. We had a program that I'm going to bring back called the Silver Hammer Award that we gave out to those schools and jurisdictions that really had an emphasis upon maintenance. And there was a very clear divide in the state. Mm-hmm. And I love my county, Montgomery County, but let's be honest, the mindset is that there's an icy indifference to school maintenance. There's no way, there's no getting around it. It is... please go and take your concerns somewhere else, because it's just not a priority. And we talk about disposable buildings and quick replacements and a lack of frugality as far as taking care of what you have. It's unacceptable to me that the bigger jurisdictions get left off the hook because they're able to say we have more schools. I mean, if anything, they should be miles ahead of the other jurisdictions that have smaller numbers of buildings and less resources. But they aren't. They're way behind. And so I know you're with us on this, and it's an awkward position because you don't really have the kind of leverage one needs. But if it's a bureaucratic issue of how do we get the message out, feel free to communicate to the board things that we can do to stimulate our recalcitrant systems out there.
We do see a great deal of attention paid to maintenance among the large jurisdictions, and we do see very highly qualified personnel, but I think that the structural issue is very significant, and it's something that I can't say that I have an answer to, but it is something that we would like to address and see what kinds of solutions do exist.
You know, it's a stimulus response environment we're in, and the Board of Public Works can be very stimulating, so share it with us. It's a big priority.
I will.
Well, thank you very much for we put you under the hot seat and you did very well with those questions. I just want to follow up one last thing. The treasurer mentioned about this idea of in the past maybe there was a trust to put money specifically.
It was an idea. It never was.
I like the idea, and I think it's something we ought to pursue because I want to do whatever we can to ensure that people are putting more emphasis on the maintenance of existing schools, and I think if we put money that's specifically allocated for that can't be moved, it's probably something we ought to consider. So appreciate the discussion. Thank you for all the great answers. And I guess anybody have any further questions before we move on?
I'm dying and going to heaven.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Governor, we have appeals from 18 appeals, 16 counties, Baltimore City, and Maryland School for the Blind. We are exactly on time. Ordinarily, we encourage
Even after that long discussion, we're on
exactly
time.
Exactly. No, at 11:20, Carroll County is scheduled to come, so I'll ask Carroll County to come to the podium. We ask all the counties or the school systems to take 10 minutes, but we will let you pass yourself.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Steve Guthrie. I'm superintendent of Carroll County Public Schools. First of all, let me offer my congratulations to you for your election and Comptroller Rancho as well. Congratulations. It's good to be here. I have a very easy appeal. We have four projects in total we submitted for state participation. All four are roofs. We've received fully funding on three of those roofs. I'm asking for just under $400,000 to complete the funding for our biggest school, Westminster High School. It is a single-ply roof on top of a built-up roof, both of which are have failed. It's 22 years old at this point. The school is 44 years old, and we just need under $400,000 to complete that. That's my total request. It's an easy one.
And you're on the honor roll of school maintenance,
yes.
And I've been up to your great jurisdiction.
We did get a Silver Hammer Award for West Middle School one year. And you've
Absolutely.
Been to our county many times. We appreciate it. And Governor Hogan, during your campaign, I know you were at Carroll County. As well.
Sure was.
And I'll tell you, when I go into that school and see the kids and the staff, it's not you or me or someone else that they like. It's Mr. Dave or Mr. Tom, whoever's the...
That's right.
Doing the maintenance. So
doing the maintenance.
Keep up the good work. And thank you for the values that you represent.
Thank you.
And thank you for the very reasonable request of $97,000 to replace a roof.
You start off with an easy one, yes.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Move on to ahead of schedule with Frederick County.
Good morning, Governor Hogan.
Good morning.
Treasurer Kopp, Comptroller Francho, State Superintendent Dr. Lowry. My name is Liz Barrett. I'm Vice President of the Board of Education of Frederick County. Accompanying me today are Dr. Ann Batatadibus, the Chief Operating Officer for the Frederick County Public Schools, Ray Barnes, our Executive Director of Facility Services, and our Supervisor of Facilities Planning, Beth Passer. I wanted to say thank you briefly to Comptroller Francher for recognizing the exceptional maintenance of our Frederick County Public Schools facilities. We do see them as long-term investments. And I'm proud of the stewardship of our maintenance folks and our facilities teams. We're here today to support the staff's recommendations and appeal for additional funding for our next major project, which is the replacement of Frederick High School, which is 75 years old. We are nearly complete with design and are ready to move forward with construction in fiscal year 2016. We are also appealing funding for several systemic renovation projects that will address building needs in our older schools. In Frederick County, we are working hard to balance the needs for new space with the needs of our older schools. With the state's help, we've been able to address many of our overcrowding issues in many areas of the county with new student capacity. We've also been able to tackle the most pressing school renovation needs of our system, primarily in the city of Frederick. The schools we've renovated in recent years have been selected not only because of deteriorating building conditions, but also in response to challenges faced by our students who attend these schools. Renovations in recent years at Lincoln Elementary School, West Frederick Middle School, North Frederick Elementary School, and now Frederick High School serve the students with our highest levels of poverty and with our greatest language barriers. Supporting these students in their efforts to be successful is among our highest priorities. At the local level, we are doing our part to address the funding challenges associated with school construction needs. Our local government regularly forward funds projects so that they can stay on schedule. In addition, a new construction fee has been approved that helps address the impact of new development on existing schools, along with an impact fee that creates a dedicated revenue source for new school construction. We feel strongly that our ability to provide a proper academic and instructional program and our students' ability to achieve high standards depends on adequate school facilities. We are doing our part. The state needs to continue as an active partner with us. Toward this goal, we request that the projects submitted for review today will be given your fullest consideration and support. Thanks so much for your time and consideration. Dr. Bonatatavis will now provide more details on project appeals. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good morning. Governor Hogan, congratulations again, Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Kopp, and State Superintendent Lowry. It's a pleasure to be here today on behalf of our superintendent, Dr. Teresa Albin, who regrets she cannot be here because there is an exciting award being given out today. You may be familiar with Mr. Mike Milken, a strong supporter of public education, and we have a $25,000 scholarship award that's being given to Ms. Maggie Hawk, a teacher in Yellow Springs Elementary. So that's where Dr. Albin is today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. We're excited. We appreciate the opportunity to meet with you and request state construction funding for the replacement project at Frederick High School. Funding is also requested for several systemic renovation projects that are key to our maintenance program, and we strive to optimize our learning environment for students every day. First, I want to take this opportunity to thank the state for the past funding approvals. And as of fiscal year 2015, the state has completed its funding obligations for all past projects for Frederick County that our government has forward funded. That's significant that those past projects have been completed because that allows us now to focus on the future. And our future priority and top priority is Frederick High School. We appreciate the funding recommendation that your staff has presented for consideration of this project. We are concerned, however, that our local county government will be significantly challenged to provide the funding that we need, the balance of the funding, to start the construction in fiscal year 2016. Therefore, we ask that this amount be increased to more closely reflect the request that was submitted by our Board of Education. The current Frederick High School is the oldest building in our county. It dates back to 1939, 75 years old. Major renovations have been completed in the 1970s, but really not much has been done since then. I actually had the pleasure of working at Frederick High School for 4 years as an assistant principal about 20 years ago. And we did all that we could to keep it this fit and shine polish on it. But there's only so much you can do with a 70-year-old building at this point. As a matter of fact, not long ago, I had a student come up to me. And she had been in some of our newer high schools. And she said, "Miss B, when are we going to have a school like the other schools where we can have chandeliers?" Now, I can assure you, we do not build schools with chandeliers. However, the modern high school structures are beautiful, open, have that collegiate feel, bright, great lighting, and that's what she wanted. And after a while, she and I agreed, The brick and mortar is important, but the teacher is the most important part of learning. But you want to feel proud about the building that you go into, and you want to feel a joy going into that educational environment every day. And I think that that's what she was really trying to express to me. We did complete a feasibility study for Frederick High School, and we evaluated all the HVAC, plumbing, and electrical systems, as well as the ability of that school to serve our students, not only now, but in the upcoming years. And after considerable public discussion, comment, and information sharing, extensive community outreach, we determined that the best course of action would be to replace the current building. This plan was ultimately approved by our Board of Education and the State Interagency Committee on School Construction. And it is the latest in a series of our projects to upgrade our older schools. We have identified schools for renovation where the greatest needs exist, not only in terms of the physical plant, but what are also challenges that our school system wants to turn into opportunities for our students. Frederick High School has the highest free and reduced meal participation of any of our high schools in the county, standing at 44%. What we do know statewide is that high schools tend to be underreported with their free and reduced meal count. And one of our feeder schools, Hillcrest Elementary, you may be familiar with that school, nearly 1,000 students in that elementary school, 91% of those students are free and reduced meal. And that school feeds 100% directly into Frederick High School, many students with needs. Also, Frederick High School serves as our English Language Learner Center for the county. We have had a 900% growth in English language learners in the past couple years. And as a matter of fact, Frederick County was identified nationally as being the 15th in the most rapid growth of the Hispanic population in the nation. So our needs are continuing to increase, and we want to meet the demands of our community. Also, our infrastructure does not support the same student access to science, technology, arts, and music programs that our other high schools do. Being located in the city, we have increasing challenges to make sure that the campus is secure and safe. Also, our community likes to use athletic fields, and we are hard-pressed to really maintain those exterior grounds as well. Even so, this school has very strong traditions and a dedicated community eager to take on the challenges. In addition, we have requested funding for several important systemic projects, including roof replacement at Lincoln A Building and Emsburg Elementary, and a chiller replacement at Green Valley Elementary School. We have additional school construction projects that we will be bringing forward in the future. However, this year our number one priority is Frederick High School. And we know that there's a substantial burden on our local county government. And a lot of their efforts are on the renovation, repair, and maintenance of existing schools in our county. Thank you for recognizing Frederick County earlier for what we do for maintenance for our buildings. Part of that is the training of our professionals. Last year, many of our professionals, project managers, got trained in LEED certification. This past year, as a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, our Board of Education recognized 20 of our facility lead mechanics who received international accreditation through the International Facility Management Association, IFMA. We are now, including myself, and I probably wear my pin, an international facility management professional certified.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now you've got to keep them.
Yes, we do. We've trained and we need to keep them. And it's important because rather than this icy indifference to maintenance, not only have we looked at preventive maintenance, we've moved beyond that now to predictive maintenance. We believe that predictive maintenance approaches make us good stewards of our facilities, of the taxpayer money. It's value added every day to a child's education, and there's a return on the investment in our schools because we take that seriously. We recognize the importance of everyone's efforts to help us cope with the growth in our student population. We urge your support of the projects that we've submitted to you today. Most important, we implore you to fund Frederick High School. Their tradition is to enter to learn, go forth to serve. We want to support them in that effort. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Appreciate you being here.
How is North Frederick Elementary, the replacement, going? What's the status of that?
It is beautiful. It is opened. We just occupied it this fall. The students absolutely love it. The teachers love the technology in the classroom. We have tried some experimental flooring techniques in there as well, and we're still working with that, again, to find things that are cost-effective but can be maintained well over time. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. Thank you.
Maybe we can do a site visit together.
Please do.
That'd get the kids going. Last time I went up there, they wanted my autograph, so the governor shows up, they'll really go bananas.
You were the rock star, no doubt.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Can I just ask one sort of technical question? My understanding is there was a potential difficulty in access.
Yes, ma'am.
Does that interfere with your schedule, or with depending on how that challenge turns out?
We believe that we'll be able to move forward with the schedule. That should not impact us in starting the project. But that access way is important for the safety and the safe transport of our students.
But it's not something we should be concerned about when we vote on.
We are prepared to move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Washington County.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Ms. Kopp, Ms. Franco, Dr. Lowry, and Dr. Lever. One moment of personal privilege. I've been the superintendent in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Pinellas County, Florida. I've also been senior vice president for corporate and government relations for Scholastic, which had facilities across the country, and I am now in Washington County. And just a compliment to Dr. Lever, I have never been engaged with a more accessible and fine-thinking director of facilities. So, Governor, I certainly want you to know that. I will also tell you...
I really feel bad about beating him up earlier now. Thank you for saying that.
Quite honestly, we call him on a regular basis to kind of headache and think through things. He always gives us sage advice, and quite honestly, we take that advice to heart in Washington County. In addition to that, Dr. Lowry has been a mentor to me as a new superintendent in Maryland, and she's actually helped me to think through some things that you'll hear from us today that I think you'll really appreciate, particularly given your desire that we reuse facilities, that we reduce just kind of frivolous expenditures. Let me give you just but one example of that before I go into our specific request. One of the things that we know is that Washington County Technical High School is oversubscribed, meaning we have more kids who want to go there than can. So rather than build an $85 million technical high school somewhere else, what we've done is we've said, well, how can we partner with the city of Hagerstown? How can we refab an older building in a private-public partnership, create an academic hub where we can take kids who will come on a modified schedule and spend time downtown in a rehab building? It will also support an existing structure that we did with a private-public partnership, the Barbara Ingram Center for the Fine Arts. So we have, I think, a large vision, and a lot of that comes from the conversations we've had with Dr. Lowry about creating spaces that are more accessible to young people.
And I saw the facility last time I was in Hagerstown, and I thought it was terrific.
Wait till you see what we have planned with a local developer. We're hopeful that using our own funds, along with some of the funds dedicated through the private partner, and then with our county government, who's been a great partner with us, that we're able to actually build this building for about $15.5 million, as opposed to spending $85 million to build a new high school, service the same number of kids over time, draw down enrollments from a number of schools, and then better use those spaces as well. That said, we really have two requests for you today. One is that you will continue to fund or final fund West City Elementary School. We're going to come up with a better name than a Compass Rose Point in just a little bit, but we're not quite there yet. The structural steel is going up on this facility, and what we're asking for there is the completion of the funding for $1.2 million. We're very thankful for the funding that we have. As all of you know who have been here before, West City replaces two schools that were well over 50 years old, some that had some very difficult environmental concerns. For example, Conica Jig doesn't have potable water simply because it's a location of a landfill that's not too far away. It also is probably a poorly designed facility from the very beginning, some 30 or 40 years ago. They didn't build it to last 100 years, although it has lasted 50. In addition to that, we are looking for, and the other school is the oldest school and the highest school on our deferred maintenance list, Winter Street Elementary School, which again is well over 50 years old. One of the other things that I think you'd be proud of in this new building is that we will actually have more kids that can walk to school, which will then reduce our transportation costs as well at this new site. The final thing that we have today is we're simply asking for $201,000 to finish a roof project on Fountain Rock Elementary School. So we have two requests from the Board of Public Works today. That is to final fund West City Elementary School, and secondly, then, to help us with the Fountain Rock roof replacement. I stand open for any questions.
Any questions?
No, I think I came out and gave a silver hammer to Potomac Heights Elementary.
You absolutely
did. And, you know, I appreciate the requests that come in for new help a little bit more when you're recognized for taking care of what you have. So keep it up.
Thank you very much, Comptroller. You've actually been a kind of a stimulus to our thinking as well. I don't know, you weren't able to make the grand opening of the new Bester Elementary School, no, which you championed so well for us. But we will tell you that we had a parking sign made for you for that day when you
really
simply because you've been called by our friends in Frederick a rock star. I don't want to let them get the only credit for calling a rock star. We certainly were ready for you. We were going to have our band play and march you right in. Now we're going to change that sign. Maybe the two of us want to go up there sometime.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Governor, we're going to spray paint over Comptroller's name. That's so good, saving money. I like that. So we'll see you. Thank you. One last comment, and that is that 2 years ago we met with Treasurer Comp. If you'll remember, we came to your office and you talked to us about alternative funding for our schools. You gave us great guidance, and quite honestly, that's one of the things that spurred this development with Bowman Developing in our community. So thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. Next up, we have Allegheny County. Was happy to spend some time up in your county just a few weeks ago.
Yes. Congratulations.
Welcome. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm David Cox, Superintendent of Schools in Allegheny County, and so I'm pleased to bring you greetings from Western Maryland. I have with me here today Laurie Martini, who is a member of our Board of Education, and Mr. Vince Montana, who is our Director of Facilities. So we appreciate your time and consideration today for our requests, and we certainly appreciate all of the support and generosity that has been extended to Allegheny County over the years for our projects that you've supported. And our last high school project, of course, is Mountain Ridge, a very beautiful facility. Likewise, we take a lot of pride in our facilities, and we have been the recipient of different awards. We've won some Silver Hammer Awards for upkeep on our facilities, as well as having received high marks for the public school inspections. So you can rest assured that when you provide us resources, we take good care of them, and we're very good stewards. Again, I thank you for listening to us today. We're here basically to talk about two different projects. I'm going to give just a very brief overview and then invite Mr. Montana to speak more specifically. First of all, the roof replacement for Braddock Middle School, and we have some photographs in the presentation and some information there that you can see. The main project that we're asking for your continued support of is the construction and replacement of a new Allegheny High School. The current school, it was built in 1925, and we think it's probably the oldest high school in continuous use. It has five different additions onto it. We're very excited about the project. We're in the final stages of design, and you have photographs there of the new site. And, Governor, we worked very closely with the City of Cumberland and Western Maryland Health System. They gave us this property. We're reclaiming a hospital site. With all the infrastructure there, what you see is the demolition that's taking place. Almost all of the material that's being demolished is being recycled in one way or another. We're excited about that because it's going to remove lots of impervious surfaces and improve the environmental conditions in our community as well. So we're really excited about that. We're working with Grimm and Parker. And we anticipate going to bid in the spring for the actual construction. So we're asking for the continued support and funding of this project, an additional $3.8 million over and above the recommendation so we can keep the project moving. So, again, thank you so much for your continued support of our buildings and I'm going to ask Mr. Montana at this time to come forward and to speak a little bit more specifically, and then Ms. Martini will follow.
Thank you very much for being here. How's the weather up in Allegheny today?
We had some snow, but we're a hardy lot, and so we keep moving, and so it's pretty good today.
Well, we're happy you made it down.
Thank you. We invite all of you, and we will give you all kinds of parking spots.
Congratulations, Governor Hogan.
Good morning.
Treasurer Cobb, Mr. Controller. I would like to say, first of all, that we are good stewards of both state and local funds. And we take pride in our maintenance efforts. I think that's evident in the annual inspections. Of primary concern today is roof replacement at Braddock Middle School. That roof was installed in 1989. It is a single-ply EPDM roof. It was, at that time, locally funded project. So, unfortunately, it was the lowest grade of roofing that you could purchase at the time, 45 thousandths of an inch thick, non-reinforced. It had a warranty period of 10 years. It's still holding. We work on it at least monthly. It is just far beyond its useful life. So we considered separating the project into two phases over 2 years, but it's very difficult to pick out the worst sections of the roof that you would do first. So we asked that you consider funding that roof project. And be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much.
Are you? Is there a new way of doing flat roofs that are essentially?
Unfortunately, really, truthfully, there are two options: a single ply or a build-up roof. We are encouraged by Dr. Lever's office to install a four-ply build-up roof. But either way, you can get a 20-year warranty. If you make a significant investment, you can certainly put a pitched roof on it with shingles. We were able to do that at one school, but that is quite an expense.
You say that like open classrooms, flat roofs were a learning.
They're trying, and you know, the majority of our schools were built prior to. The 1980s, we've done some renovation. Majority of them were actually built in the 70s, and I'm envious of a county that has a high school that's only 75 years old. And we're looking at
yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
I wanted to say congratulations to you, Governor Hogan, and thank you very much for your continued support of our projects. We really couldn't build a new school or fix a roof or anything without your help, and we do sincerely appreciate your generosity to us. The Allegheny project means a lot to Allegheny County, particularly to the city of Cumberland. It would be the first new school that's gone up in Allegheny County, in the city of Allegheny County, since the 1960s. So it is, if you have some time and would like to see the existing Allegheny High School, we would love to take you through it. You'd be amazed. It has been well cared for, but it is definitely.
I made six trips to Allegheny County over the past year, which is, I think, more than the previous governor did in 8 years. But I didn't get a chance to see your school, so maybe next time I'm in town.
We'd love to see you, give you some tours, and we always love to see Mr. Francho. He's been a frequent visitor, and we appreciate that. So just wanted to thank you all for your continued support.
Thank you.
If I could just ask Dr. Cox, thank you for mentioning Flintstone Elementary with the Silver Hammer. I wanted to just get brought up to date. In 2013, I went to John Humbert Elementary School in Cumberland to present Becky Miller with the Golden Apple Award for the program that she spearheaded called Summer Lunchbox Program. That's such a great idea. Is it still up and running? And
it is, and actually it's expanded. We have the program now is being picked up in the western part of the county. It's a group of churches in the city of Cumberland that have gone together. Actually, I go to church with Becky and nominated her for that. And she
good.
She actually was a former employee, an elementary education supervisor. And so she has encouraged others to participate. So the town of Westernport was the latest town and community.
I don't want to screw it up by getting the state involved, but is there something we can do to support that?
Sure. I mean, we'd be glad to have some more conversation about it. But it really is very successful, and it fills a need. We have a lot of poor children who wouldn't have a meal unless they got that summer lunchbox meal.
Well, give her my regards and tell her that is the future of many services. That we love government, but it's compared to a committed volunteer effort that, like hers, its government is way, way behind as far as being able to respond flexibly and creatively to a community problem like that. So hats off, and please give
thank
them my
you.
Regards.
I certainly will do that.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good trip back to Allegheny County.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Baltimore City. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, certainly good morning to you, Governor, and certainly welcome to Annapolis, to Comptroller Franchot, Treasurer Kopp, and certainly State Superintendent Lillian Lowry, and the balance of the committee. I'm here today with Keith Scroggins, our Chief Operations Officer. I'm the proud CEO of Baltimore City Schools. I'm here to respectfully appeal to the IEC designees second round of funding recommendations for FY16. City Schools has recognized this and appreciates the $16.3 million that has been appropriated, but based on the 75% of the governor's budget. I'd like to just provide the entire committee a perspective of where City Schools are. One, we have an average age of 48 years old. 23% of our buildings were prior to 1946. 74% of our buildings between 1946 and 1985, and 3% of our buildings since 1985. The oldest building in our portfolio is a school that we still use, is Booker T. Washington. It was built in 1895. The oldest building in the city, which is our central office, and certainly we think it certainly meets our needs, was born in 1865, was the original Poly High School. The first complete construction in the city since 1998 was the Waverly Elementary School, which opened in January of 2014. The portfolio is large, and just for perspective, 18.5 million square feet of space across 180 schools. At one time, certainly, Baltimore was the home of about 185,000 children. As a result, there's been attrition. 17.5 million square feet of district-owned permanent building space. 434,000 square feet of district-owned modular and portable buildings. We're actually in portable headquarters there. And over 500,000 square feet of buildings not owned by the city, in which we certainly support many of our charter operations. It's a rare week when I don't get a call from this gentleman around 5 o'clock in the morning. And he says something like this: a pipe has burst. Or we're not going to be able to go to school today because the buildings are cold. Or we have this problem of valve. And I'll say, Keith, how long does it take to fix it? Well, it's wrapped in asbestos, and we probably will be back up. That's not the quality of educational opportunities we want for our children. So earlier this week, I'll just tell you one that's right on the tip of my tongue is we had to close Fort Worthington. We had to close because we had to replace pipes. And then when we actually went into the project, we found that it was more serious, and you never know how serious it is until you actually get in and find out. Dr. Lieber, you are well aware, we had a boiler challenge as well at Windsor Hills. And I think thanks to the staff that we were able to certainly salvage and actually get to a good place where we minimized that. And the list goes on. The state in our request, we have 64 projects listed in our original request and are necessary repairs that we would love to see supported in our schools. We need funding for a full range of projects described in our original request. These are not frivolous or vanity requests. These are projects that are real, that I see every day, that I see as I move from classroom to classroom, whether I'm looking at water quality for the fact that many of our children, because of the lead piping that are unable to use the water that's in our schools, and we've actually brought in portable fountains that will allow them an opportunity to have good water and good water quality. We have the highest need in regards to the amount of state funding required to bring buildings to basic adequacy. And we're talking about adequacy. We're not talking something that's really grand, but we're just talking about having a great place that's cool in the summer, that's warm in the winter, and that parents can really count on the fact that when they drop their kids off each morning, that they're not going to get a call from me basically saying, come back and get them, because we have a building certainly that's down. This proposal both includes major projects, numerous systemic renovation projects. We're hopeful funding and repair of structural deficiency and replace faulty, antiquated building systems. And it's about building systems for me. It's not about just building new buildings. We're excited about that. But you've got to create the infrastructure in which you certainly live with each day. It's certainly in place. We're talking about certainly the issues with respect to safety and provisions around learning environments. You know, I'm very excited. We woke up this morning, hopefully you saw the sun that says that we're moving in the right direction. Our graduation rate is moving up. Our dropout rate is moving down. But in order for that to happen, it has to be done in really great environments. We're doing our share as well. Two major renovations include Halliburton and Grayson. Mr. Frencho, you're out in schools a lot. I hear it. I'm probably going to run into you sometime this week at one of our schools.
Absolutely. I'll be at Graceland.
Yeah, exactly, at Graceland. You will see, let me share with you what you will see. One is that we have secured additional dollars. Not just, we just don't want to wait, certainly, on the state. We want to be aggressive. We want to be entrepreneurial in our approach. A federal grant to make a net zero school, meaning lessen the carbon footprint. Those are the kinds of things that we want to bring to the table. We are working diligently to leverage every dollar, and we get the best return, certainly, on the investment as well as on learning. Moving forward with the 21st Century Project, it's a big project, and I need to certainly thank you. I'm pleased to say I have three great partners, and I could not have done it without them. One partner sits to my right and my left, the IEC, certainly the Maryland Stadium Authority, as well as certainly Baltimore City, led by our mayor. We're on schedule. I want you to understand we're on schedule. I mean, we're ahead of schedule. We're going to replace and renovate up to 28 buildings over the next 5 years. On schedule to close required 26 buildings, because it's important. We don't need the footprint that we once had, so we have to close schools. I'm pleased to say that we've advanced that. We accelerated that, because every time we don't make those hard decisions, it takes things away from our children, which is so important. There will be positive effects, impact over the entire district with respect to utilization. Utilization is big. I'm aware that the district has not set aside sufficient funds. I will tell you the budget for this gentleman is $18 million to take care of that amount of square foot. It's impossible to do. I'm pleased to say the $3 million has been added this year. $6 million will be added next year, and we will add $27 million to the $18 million as we move forward. And David, Dr. Lever, I'd like to thank you for your input. And being certain that, you know, if you build great things and do great things, you certainly have to have the wherewithal to maintain them. You know, so many times we get brand new things and we don't take care of them. That's been a challenge for us. But that challenge we're going to mitigate, and I know the commissioners are very, very in favor of doing the work. I'm pleased to say when we actually started the 21st Century Building Plan, one of the big concerns was that we needed a building, a point person. I'm pleased to say we've hired one of the best in the country, Mignon Anthony, who's here with me today, and certainly she can answer any questions. But in summary, I want you to know that I'm very committed to a culture of effective and efficient operations. When I came in, the board asked me what was my goals. I had two things. One, student achievement. That's the core business that we're in. And then around creating an effective, efficient operation that can certainly support those core goals. That is a premier role for me to play. If there's two things, if 20 years from when we leave, I would like to say that we certainly move the academic opportunities for our children, and we create it in the environment and conditions that's not only scalable but sustainable. I give you my pledge that we will spare no effort to justify the trust that this committee has placed in us. We're going to work very, very hard. We may fall short, but we will certainly be in a much better place than we've been. And I wanted you to know that. So I'm here today to ask you to extend that same spirit of support, certainly in consideration for our CIP. You know, often, you know, the question is, you know, will it be a good, effective return on investment? I'm here to say it will. We will share the same, I think we do share the same goal. The reason we are all here is because we believe in a better state, we believe in a better community, And I will tell you, I don't know any way of getting there than through schools. Schools are it. This is it. That's the transformational agent that I think actually prepares our young people to sit and potentially be governor of this state one day, or to be the comptroller of this state, or to be state superintendent, or certainly to take my job. And after a few snow calls, I made a few people ready to take them, but take that job. But so today, we're here to answer any questions. We thank you for your consideration of our requests, and know our request is really driven around need, truly need. And I think Mr. Franco can tell you that as he's moved through our system, our kids deserve better. And certainly, you're our partner, so we reach out to you today. Thank you. And this is Keith Scroggins. He's the answer man because I have 7 months on the job. And so we're a partnership here, and we stand ready to answer any questions you might have.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for that excellent presentation, and thank you for your leadership. It was I like the way you got through that. You covered a lot of ground.
I only had 10 minutes, sir.
You got it all in there. It was terrific. I just have one quick. You were talking about the number of schools that you were closing. How many was that?
We have closed 26. We're moving to close 20. We've closed 6. We're going to actually close 26. And based on the efficiencies, we're hopeful to actually reduce the footprint even more.
You mentioned about the attrition, but can you give me an idea of how many students have we lost? How many fewer students we have now?
We have approximately
from the high point to where
we are. High point was 185,000 many years when the point was open and families were in every home. But over the last several years, we've begun to increase. We're beginning to bring families back to the district. Last year, we brought back close to about 500 a year. Before, it was about 1,000.
So what's the total number now from 185 down to what?
I'm at 84.9 something this morning. I look at it every
84
day.
84.9? 84.9. You mean we lost 100,000 students?
Over a period of years, yes.
Wow.
Since the 60s.
Could you send us a chart?
I'd be glad to.
That'd be good to see.
Yeah. And you'll see it's actually tied to jobs. And when the jobs went away,
no
question, families went away.
It's one of the things I've been talking about for 4 years, that we've lost businesses, jobs, and taxpayers at an alarming rate, particularly out of Baltimore City, and it's something we all want to turn around.
Well, we certainly appreciate it, and we stand ready as a partner to do so. And I will be glad to provide that chart to you, and I'll provide it to the whole commission,
great,
if that's appropriate. And certainly I will also provide our support with respect to maintenance as we move forward, as you will see the $3 million being added in this year, and then subsequently next year is 6, next year is 9, and it will go up to 27. The 27 sits on top of the 18, and you're at 45, which is, we benchmark, working with David, is the appropriate support that's necessary to do the work and to maintain
and
the opportunities.
This is for the entire district.
It's for the entire district, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What's the name of the new school program?
The 21st
20%.
Century.
This
right.
is not just for the 21st.
Right. That's no. It's great to get new buildings, but I have responsibilities with buildings that I have. And to be very candid, as much as I would love to come and say to you, let's replace them all, that's not going to happen. I'm not even going to make that request. So what my request is to make the ones that we have, get them at optimal level so they can certainly enhance the educational program that our kids deserve.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, you mentioned, thank you, you mentioned Graceland, and that's one of the top replacement priorities
yes, sir.
In the city. Apparently, it's been held up because of some unresolved issues, or it got a C rating, I believe, in your report. Has that been resolved, when will it be resolved?
It's a C. Both of the projects are Cs because of what we call lack of design progress. We're expecting the schematic designs to be submitted this month. But the design development document submission is the critical key that gives us the assurance that if we allocate funds, they'll be used during that fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So it's a technical issue right now. Design is underway.
Yes. Right.
So we expect to receive those design development documents.
Mm-hmm. And I think you all be pleased that the shovels go in the ground for the 21st Century program in December. And I can't leave without extending my gratitude for that. I think you'll be very, very proud.
Let me get back to, if I could just ask one more question on Graceland.
Yes.
Here's a school built in 1950 that's never had a systemic renovation. Is that true?
Possible.
Yeah.
Do you know the name of the school?
It's Graceland.
Oh.
Yeah.
Graceland
it's
has
built
had.
1950, but it's never undergone a systemic renovation. And I understand, obviously, there's an explanation because of the condition, but, boy, that's pretty stunning.
Well, we've done work, a lot of work that's come out of the operational budget, but that's a school that's going to be totally rebuilt in the next 2 years. So it's in phase one, year one of phase one.
And Dr. Lever, you testified earlier that you thought, even though the reports have not been published, that progress is being made, because in 2009 you surveyed 35 schools in the city. None received a superior rating. Three were good. Five were rated not adequate. But you think that the trend is moving in the right direction?
Yes, and I think that the comprehensive maintenance plan that was approved by the IEC in September is the real key to the progress in terms of staffing, the budget that Dr. Thornton mentioned, the reorganization of certain aspects. Those are the key elements, I think.
Thank you.
I would like to point out that in the last 4 years, and this I received in a letter from Dr. Lever last year, the last 4 years of scores of all of the inspection reports have increased each year.
With good care and good maintenance, you can extend the life of facilities. And I think that's the conversation that we've missed over the years, and that's certainly the position we're trying to put ourselves in as we look at the future of certainly availability of dollars.
Excellent. Any questions, Madam Treasurer?
Can I just, a personal note, I don't do this often, but I think I'm probably, want to say to you.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm probably one of the last surviving people. I was a sponsor of, with Delegate Pete Rawlings, and of the law some bill some years ago, which created the new Baltimore City school system with the CEO and the
yes,
new
ma'am.
Organization. It was with very high hopes, including a reduction of what even then was excess capacity so that you could focus on the kids and in schools and in new schools. And I know it was very controversial. I know there were many times when the bill, the memorandum of understanding, was signed by a mayor with tears in his eyes, Mayor Schmoke, that I have wondered whether, in fact, it was an appropriate thing to do and what would happen. And I just want to say that what you have said in the last 10 minutes has been inspiring. And I just hope, in terms of understanding not only the need for maintaining what we have, but the importance of the school buildings and the support for the teachers and just the whole in integrity and health and the performance of what at one time was the leading school system in the state of Maryland. It's really very inspiring. I'm very, very pleased to see you here.
Thank you very much for those kind words.
Thank you very
much.
I know that wasn't a motion, but I'd like to second it. Thank you very much. It was
thank
a
you,
impressive
sir.
Presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And for our morning session, last but certainly not least, we have Anne Arundel County before we take a lunch break. And I saw my good friend, County Executive Steve Hsu, come in. They must be bringing in the big guns along with the school system. My county executive here. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Governor Hogan, Treasurer Kopp, and Comptroller Franjo. I'm George Rolato, the very, very proud superintendent of Anne Arundel County Public Schools. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by our Chief Operating Officer, Alex Shaknovich, members of our board and our president, Ms. Korbelak, County Executive Steve Hsu, and other supporters of Anne Arundel County. I'd like to thank this board, the IAC, Dr. Lever, and the staff of the Public School Construction Program for your ongoing support of our county and our fiscal year 2016 request. Prudently investing the public's funds in providing a balanced capital improvement program has been and will continue to be one of our district's hallmarks. As we strive to enhance access, equity, and excellence for our school system and our county as a whole, we must not ignore the critical role that our district plays as contributing to the economic development and competitiveness of the state of Maryland and Anne Arundel County. As a recently completed economic impact study clearly demonstrates, we continue to increase these economic benefits with every student that graduates, to go on to college, or into the workforce. We intend to continue to grow our valuable partnerships with government, businesses, and community organizations in order to develop great future leaders. By prioritizing resources to enhance our educational programs, we can also better support the needs of our students and staff by providing safe, healthy, flexible, and sustainable facilities. We have a plan. We are practical and predictable, and we stay the course. Yet, as with any plan, there are both opportunities and challenges. For fiscal year 2016, we are faced with continued enrollment increases and capacity constraints, a backlog of aging infrastructure, requisite security enhancements, and increased regulatory and mandated compliance costs. Each of these issues alone is not overwhelming, but when combined with finite resources, hard decisions must be made. We have to make them, and we understand you will also. However, we sincerely believe that we are all on the same team and that those decisions will be an ardent endorsement of the nearly 80,000 students in our district. Therefore, we ask for your continued support and funding approval for the following projects. Our first request is for the balance of construction funding for the renovation addition project at West Annapolis Elementary School. Students and staff have been moved to a temporary facility and construction has begun. The project is part of the overall plan for relieving overcrowding in the Annapolis feeder system. Next, we are requesting second year construction funding for Severna Park High School. This will be our first LEED high school. The replacement school is under construction, and we anticipate adding over 300 trade opportunities to the state and local workforce. When completed, the project will provide a high-performance facility to shape future community leaders. The next priority in our request is funding for two electrical systemic projects at West Mead Early Education Center and Hilltop Elementary. We are diligently trying to reduce the backlog of these technology-related projects while balancing the scarce resources that we have available. These projects will be installed in accordance with MSDE's Standards for Telecommunication Distribution System. Our fourth request is for local planning approval and construction funding for gymnasium additions at Woodside and Millersville Elementary Schools. The existing multipurpose rooms at these schools are currently tasked with serving as the collective gymnasium, cafeteria, auditorium, music room, and community gathering space. These additions will alleviate the scheduling demands at these two schools and support our county's physical fitness and recreational initiatives. Finally, we're asking for local planning authority for a number of critical facility upgrades, including Manor View, High Point, George Cromwell, Jessup, and Arnold Elementary Schools. The feasibility study demonstrating the need, rationale, methodology, and purpose for each project has been completed and approved by the IAC. On behalf of our students, their parents, our employees, the Board of Education of Anne Arundel County, and the community we serve, I thank you for the opportunity to discuss our fiscal year 2016 capital improvement program and how it supports the growth of Anne Arundel County and the state of Maryland. My staff and I would be pleased to answer questions that you may have, but I know that our county executive has a few, would like to take a few moments to introduce himself to you.
Thank you.
Good
afternoon, Governor, Treasurer Cobb,
Mr. County
Controller Grancho. Nice to see you. No better sign of a new era of efficiency in government than the fact that the Board of Public Works is 15 minutes ahead of schedule. It's a pleasure to be here in support of our school system this morning. As Dr. Arlotto said, we are incredibly proud of our school system in Anne Arundel County, and we're doing everything we can to support our 80,000 students. My administration is pledged to support the school system in any way we can in advancing their mission. We have a huge construction backlog. We'll spend about $1 billion over the next 10 years on school construction in Anne Arundel County. 650 of it will go to high school construction alone. Dr. Arlotto has laid out our priorities beautifully, and Severna Park High School, Mr. Grancho, is proceeding beautifully, and thank you again for your interest in that project and visiting with me. I know there are competing needs across the state. Anne Arundel County is, of course, Governor Hogan, your home county. We're proud of you.
Even after I moved from Edgewater, you're still my county executive. You're still here in Annapolis.
And I was also pleased to see that your budget included $290 million for school construction. That's a huge commitment, and we appreciate those funds being there. And we always appreciate state support of our projects, and I just want to assure you that we intend to use every state dollar wisely. So thank you again for this opportunity.
Thank you very much. Any questions of Anne Arundel County, any of this distinguished panel?
No, I appreciate the county executive being here, and thank you for mentioning Severna Park High School. What is the status of that as far as the CIP that's coming.
In line, we have one other project for West Annapolis. Elementary school was mentioned, mm-hmm. and then the request for Severna Park High School is next in line to receive funding.
And we've committed $8.1 million. Are they Correct. Due for any more in 2016?
Oh, yes. Yes, Good. They have requested $20.4 million, and we'll do what we can to fund that in discussion with them about how to balance out the funding among projects.
Excellent. That's a good program. And just a quick question on Glen Burnie High School. That apparently has open podcast classroom designs, which is just a particularly bad idea we got in the 1970s. Is that on track to move forward to a conversion? And are there other classrooms like it in Anne Arundel? And what's the cost and timetable for getting those replaced? Because they're real public, they're security threats among other things.
They are. There's no question. Glen Burnie is a prime example of that. So we've had this. It was a bad decision made by somebody years ago in the world of construction to have open space classrooms. We have over the years, we build several million dollars into our CIP every year to begin to start to enclose those open classrooms. We do that on a regular basis. Glen Burnie is the next big project on the list for us to go ahead, and then we'll continue. We've got how many buildings left? So about two-thirds of the way through the program, about a third left to get all of our open space classrooms enclosed. But Glen Burnie is the next big project up for us.
Thank you. And I noticed you brought all these prominent people with you, and the governor described them as big guns. You have standing next to you someone who's really extraordinary, Alex Shotnovich. Doesn't get a lot of attention, but I appreciate what he did more than a decade ago with your schools, which, like Baltimore County, most of the classrooms were not air-conditioned. And instead of doing what Baltimore County is unfortunately laboring through at a very high expense and is taking forever, Alex came up with the idea of, why don't we put portable air conditioners mounted on the outside of the windows and see how those do. And, boy, I tell you, it costs $120,000 for an elementary school, $250,000 for the larger secondary schools. They were installed quickly. They were installed affordably. And they worked. And so hats off to Anne Arundel County for responding to a serious public health and safety need. And what I like about Alex, and I mentioned this earlier with government, we get stuck in the way of doing things. And so we can't react flexibly. And you guys did in Anne Arundel. I guess I like Alex because he doesn't think of reasons why you can't do something. He comes up and says, hey, if it's a priority, let's do it. So I guess my question is, Alex, are those things still working? I hope.
Sure,
like a champ. Yeah. And congratulations on that. And I don't mean to stigmatize the bureaucracy as too hidebound, but it is. I mean, I'm part of it sometimes. We just don't open our eyes up to an affordable, quick way to do something and benefit our in this instance, our kids. So hats off. And, Mr. County Executive, thank you for the comments about Severna Park.
Thank you, Mr. French. I would like to just recognize those comments about Mr. Shotnovich. I think we're recognized across the state in our programs, in our facilities, and it is really all about Alex, right? I think you heard my colleague, Dr. Thornton, come up and speak about his priorities in the academics of his kids and in creating sustainability through his programming. My two goals are very similar in creating the academic prowess for our students, and then the second part of my goal is to stay out of Alex's way. So far, it's served me for 7 months well, so I'll continue.
It's taken me 8 years to learn how to pronounce his last name.
But you did a good job.
Yeah, good. Anything
else? Could you send us a copy of the economic impact study?
Absolutely.
Sounds really interesting.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Anne Arundel County. Appreciate you being here this morning. That wraps up our morning session. 4 minutes early. We're running this thing like clockwork, and now we're going to take a lunch break. I want to thank all the school systems that came in for the morning session. We're going to take a break for lunch until 1 o'clock, and then we'll have a whole host of other folks come in to talk with us this afternoon. So thank you very much. We're going to adjourn for lunch.